Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade gap narrowed slightly in October due to increased exports. The trade deficit fell 0.4% to a seasonally adjusted $43.43 billion in October from the prior month's deficit of $43.60 billion. Exports increased 1.2% from September to $197.54 billion, and imports advanced 0.9% to $240.97 billion. Imports to the U.S. advanced despite a decline in oil prices. Oil prices fell about 10% during October to their lowest level since 2009. Private exporters reported this morning the USDA export sales of 240,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2014-15 marketing year. And Burger King Worldwide says it expects to close its $11 billion acquisition of Tim Hortons on December the 12th, following yesterday's approval from the Canadian government. The deal, however, still is subject to approval from the Ontario Superior Court of Justice and Tim Hortons shareholders, who are set to vote next Tuesday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now trading at 17,923. It's up 33 points. The NASDAQ, 4317, up 4.25. The S&P 500 is 2,073, and it is up 1.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. It looks like we've got some more moisture moving across the lower parts of the Midwest at this hour. Overnight, we saw moisture totals running anywhere from a few hundredths of an inch upwards to about 0.3 inches. There's some locally greater amounts suspected, but as we go forward through the next 24 hours, we're going to see more rain occur across parts of this very same region. The area we're talking about is from Kansas into portions of Ohio and Kentucky, mostly right at and along the Ohio River itself. And we'll expect to see most of this precipitation continuing throughout the day today and overnight tonight, ending tomorrow. The majority of it is not likely to be real impressive, but nevertheless, it'll be disruptive to late-season farming activity, and that's the biggest issue, of course. The area is plenty wet and doesn't need any more moisture. Additional totals today will run from about 0.2 to 0.75 inches. It wouldn't surprise me to see some totals getting upwards over an inch in a few spots, so we need to look for some drier weather. And there is some good news in the pipeline here. After this event passes off, we will likely see some drier conditions. The next disturbance that impacts the Midwest will be mostly in the northern parts of the region, primarily across the Great Lakes region, and this will occur Sunday into Monday. It'll be a little bit of a wintry mix of precipitation types, mostly snow, though, and the moisture content in it will be relatively low. But I don't think there's going to be much of that precipitation that will reach south of the Great Lakes region, so the lower parts of the Midwest will likely continue to dry down after today and tomorrow morning's precipitation comes to an end. We will look after that for a warming trend to take place. First, a cold high-pressure center will drop into the region. This will occur during the first part of next week. It'll be a relatively strong high-pressure system, so we'll once again have some crisp temperatures across the region. And then as we move on into the middle to latter part of next week, a big part of North America is going to be warming up. In fact, temperatures out to the west in the plains and some western Corn Belt locations are likely to rise dramatically above average, and that will likely melt what's left of the snow in the upper parts of the Midwest and northern plains and also help to raise soil temperatures. Maybe a little bit of this wheat will become a little better established in time. In the meantime, no other storm systems of size are likely. Now, across the Midwest at this hour, we do have a lot of precipitation still falling in the southern areas. As I mentioned before, the majority of the precipitation has been concentrated on the northern part of Missouri, southward and eastward through southern Illinois into southern Ohio. Temperatures across the region this morning running mostly in the 30s with 40s in the south. The temperature outlook is for these temperatures to stay a little bit cool as we go through this next couple of day period. The high temperatures today will run 30s and 40s north, 40s and 50s south. And then as we go into the weekend itself, we'll be looking at 20s and 30s across some of the northern parts of the Midwest while the 40s continue in the south. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter December wheat not trading on the big board. The March, though, at 635 is down a half. December soft wheat is 598 and a half, down 1 1/4. March, 585 1/4, now 85 even, down 4 3/4. December corn, 376 3/4, up 3/4. March, 390 1/2, now 1/4, up 1/2. May, 398 3/4, up 1/2. July, 405 1/4, up 1/2. January soybeans, 1017 3/4, up 7 1/4. March, 1024 1/4, up 7. May, 1030 1/4, up 6 1/2. July, 1035 1/2, up 6 3/4. December soybean meal, 387.60, up 190. December soybean oil, 31.87, up 27 cents. December live cattle, 166.25, down 20. January feeders, 236.80, up 85. And December lean hogs are 87.70. And they are up 7 1/2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Thanks for coming in on a Friday. You're usually here on Wednesdays. We appreciate that very much. Soybeans, Bill. Well, we thought we had a classic head and shoulders pattern developing. But now we're back up at the neckline, knocking on the door to see if we can get above it. Mm-hmm. We did trade down a little bit today, but that export sale of 240,000 metric tons of soybeans to unknown destinations was right on the neckline.
It sure is. And I think realistically, you know, here we were on Wednesday saying, yeah, pretty much put a fork in it. The bias is sell. Sell bounces. I think that still is in order. But here again, when it comes to technical analysis, it's a lot more art than science. It's a reflection of fear and greed in the marketplace. So what we have to do is assess, you know, the market's response. You know, you get an export sale, like you say this morning, 240,000 metric tons, which is a nice chunk. But now the market looks at it and says, I've recovered from negative territory. I probably had some fairly light volume overnight. I take out yesterday's high. Who am I going to intimidate? Anybody that sold yesterday is now a loser. Now, who's going to work their way out, or do they have conviction that this is going to pass? Realistically, the way the chart pattern is set up and the way the market profile is, the path of least resistance still looks to be down. We've been in a trading range for an extended period of time between about $10 and $10.50, $10.40, something like that, in the January beans. We're just now creeping back into the bottom end of that. I really don't see any incentive to stimulate new buying here, so we'll probably run out of gas, and I think the chart pattern is still valid. What would invalidate it would probably be if we were cranked up another 10 or 15 cents from here and go over the weekend with follow-through on Monday, that would probably mitigate the chart pattern, and we'd have to go back to the drawing board.
I think that if I were to see that we had a strong finish above the neckline, I would suspect that maybe it's foreshadowing something coming to us on next Wednesday during crop production or WASDE reports.
It very well could. You also got to remember that we've got some FSA cut numbers coming at us. And one other thing I would add to this particular situation is this is a really good environment where working with some options, some bot options, when you really don't know the answer and you don't want to expose yourself to too much risk, a put option in an environment where the market's moving 40 cents like it did Monday or last Friday, An option in this particular strategy to protect your value is an odds-on favorite in our estimation.
A quick comment on corn before we let you go.
Corn a little bit defensive. I think realistically, it's got a positive bias longer term. The wheat's a little bit lower. I think there was some discussion that maybe Russia wasn't going to be exporting as much stuff. But realistically, corn is probably going to get a better piece of our export picture, creeping back into positive territory now up a fraction. I think it's got reasonable value, and I'm reasonably encouraged. We'll see, $4 corn or above $4 corn before too awful long.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. And he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace. December corn is 376 and three quarters, up three quarters. March, 390 and a half, up three quarters. July is 405 and a quarter, up a half. January soybeans, 1016, up five and a half. March, 1022 and a half, up five and a quarter. July, 1033 and a half, up four and three quarters. December soybean meal, 387.90, up $2.20. December soybean oil is 31.87, up 27. December lean hogs, 87.75. They're up 12.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.